Would you turn with me to the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke? The 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and we begin reading the 35th verse, 36, and part of 37. This morning, the source of our text. It talks about the readiness for the Lord's return. In the 35th verse, it says, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when the Lord cometh, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." I want to stop the reading right there. The title of this message this morning, "Are You Ready for the Rapture?" Would you bow your heads with me as we lift up a prayer for this word this morning? Precious Father, we thank you this morning for being here, for allowing us to be in your presence, for your care and your love and your concern. And we pray, Lord, that you open our hearts. You deal with us individually, Lord, as we hear your word, that, Lord, you take these lips of clay and cause them to utter what you want us to say, O God, that it may bring conviction, it may bring strength, it may bring deliverance. Help us, Lord, in this Christian journey, as we look to you, the author and finisher of the faith, because our desire is to go all the way with you. And we thank you, we praise you, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He said, "You have no need for me to write unto you in the times in which we live." And if that was true then, it's more than true today. What is going on around us, we are so well aware. And we find ourselves in the spiritual clock, 2 minutes to 12. The time is getting close. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to us this morning. You know, our God is so good. Even though we fail him many times, he never fails us. He's always concerned about us. He overlooks. He has grace and mercy and love. And I'm so thankful of that this morning, because we all need his grace, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness. Praise God. And we say, Lord, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was foretold thousands of years, and it was fulfilled in every minute detail. He himself fulfills about 109 separate and distinct prophecies that he is the Messiah. In the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's something like 170 prophecies of events to come. And it's been more than 2,000 years now, and most of those events have been fulfilled. The signs of the time are everywhere, and there's no need, there's no reason for us not to believe the rest of the things that are not fulfilled will be fulfilled. God's word is true, and we thank the Lord. It's getting close for Gabriel to blow his trumpet. In the 14th chapter of John, he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a promise this morning. He's going back. He's coming back to prepare a place for us. In the fourth chapter of the book, the Epistle to Thessalonians, Paul writes, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't know if you realize this, but we're living in the possibility that we could be that generation that sees the coming of the Lord. That experience, we could be alive when the rapture takes place. We're that close, I believe, in my heart. In that 15th verse, he says, we say to you by the word of the Lord. We have a sure word of prophecy directly from the Lord, Paul says. And his word, as the psalmist says, is settled in the heavens forever. Oh, praise God. For the Lord himself shall descend, it says, as we read in the scriptures. Oh, Lord, thank you for this promise of eternal life, this promise of his return. In the first chapter of Acts, we know when Jesus was ready to ascend, it says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he, Jesus, went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven, the same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven, and so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, there was a famous songwriter. We have many of her songs in our book. Fanny Crosby. She was an old black woman, blind woman. And someone asked her, how are you, an old blind woman, going to know Jesus when you come into his presence? Should he come back? And she went to her room and wrote this song, I Shall Know Him. And the words go as follow, I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the word of God says the events will happen suddenly. They will come in rapid succession. And he will also come secretly. Paul said in Thessalonians, the second in the fifth chapter, he says, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When Jesus comes to carry his saints home, it will be secretly. Only the saved will hear the sound of the trumpet and the shout. Praise God. His return will go unnoticed by the unsaved and the lost of this world. Only the saints will hear the trumpet sound. Only the saved shall hear the shout of the Savior and the voice of the archangel. Praise God. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the rapture takes place? All over the world, people will be missing. They won't be the ones that are lost, though. They're going to be the ones with the Lord. Hallelujah. Parents that never accepted Christ will wake up and find their young children, children not of the age of understanding, gone, missing. Unbelieving husbands will wake up and the wife, the believing wife, will be missing. Unbelieving wives will wake up in the morning and unbelieving husbands will be gone, or believing husbands will be gone. People will show up for work and find that their co-workers are missing. No sign. Mysteriously gone. People riding in trucks and cars and buses and airplanes will be gone. Traffic will come to a standstill because people will be ushered out of this world. Gone. People from all walks of life will be missing. Be filing missing persons reports. Where's so-and-so? And you know, the deceiver of this world, the one who is a deceiver, the liar, Satan, will cause all kind of confusion. And says he'll give them to believe a lie, a delusion. You hear today all the talk all of a sudden about aliens and outer space. And is there life out there, intelligent life? I believe it will be something the enemy employs to say, well, maybe the aliens snatched them away. Maybe the aliens took them. We don't know if there's life out there. Oh, we know. The Word of God tells us what we know. We know. It is deception from the enemy. Many will seek an answer in churches. Some pastors will be gone. Some parishioners will be gone. But those that are left, the ones that were pretend Christians, the ones who weren't totally sold out, they'll know. They'll know the word they heard was true. And Jesus has come back. And he's taken his bride away. Taken us to be with him. Oh Lord, help us. In Corinthians, it talks about in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. That word in the Greek, I believe, is atomos, something like that. It's almost an immeasurable amount of time. It's so quick. Instantaneously, we're going to be changed. This corruptible has to put on incorruption. This mortal has to put on immortality. Praise God. And we're going to go with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine the cemetery? When that takes place and all the graves of the believers, the saved, are going to open up and they're going to rise to be with God. Oh, hallelujah. Encouraging one another, come on, brother, it's time to go home. It's time to be with the Lord. Praise God. Oh, Lord, help us. You know, to make the rapture, you can't have any excess baggage. All sin has to be discarded. Praise God. Sin can't be part of your baggage. If we go with the Lord, we have to be born again, which is the glorious baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in Romans in the 8th chapter, the 13th verse, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise God. Accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and having your sins washed away and being baptized in the Holy Ghost will give you a ticket to ride. But that doesn't guarantee. Praise God. Because what is necessary from that point is walking in the Spirit. Amen? Walking. The baptism is not the end all. It's just the beginning, praise God. We got to be ready, watching, and waiting. Oh, Lord. Waiting for his return. Living a holy life. Walking righteously. Walking in the Spirit. Controlled by the Spirit. Totally sold out to Jesus Christ. You know, we've preached on this passage in the past about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. But I want you to think about that for a moment. They were all virgins. All 10. Faithful to the call of God on their lives. They had not committed spiritual adultery. They didn't do that by serving the God of this world, living immoral and sinful lives. It says they were virgins. But they didn't make it because they let the oil run out of their lamp. Do you ever think about that? They were believers sitting in a church 3 times a week, possibly. But they let the oil run out of their lamp. They got into a casual relationship with the Lord on automatic. Taking it as it comes. Not pressing for the kingdom. They didn't make it. They didn't make it. There's no time to sit back and say, well, I'm good now. Everything's okay. I'm baptized in water. I go to church frequently. I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost and all's good. No, that's great. But don't stop right there. There's a walking in the Spirit that is so important. Why did Jesus give us the Holy Ghost as a label? He gave it to us for power to live the life and walk the walk and to be able to do and accomplish for the kingdom of God. We need His strength every day. Praise the Lord. Amen. Young people, I'm speaking to you. You're baptized in water. You now have taken control of your lives. You now are responsible before the Lord. What you do from this point. You're not under mom and dad anymore. You're not under the grace of God in that sense. You now have responsibility to make your decisions. How am I going to live my life? How am I going to pursue the kingdom? How am I going to follow through and seek the Lord and walk in the Spirit? Praise God. How am I going to do that? A casual approach to serving God? No, no, no. You can't do that. You're going to be left behind. Oh, Lord, would you open our eyes to be prepared? Praise God for your coming. You know, I think some people have this mentality of the thief on the cross. And you hear that a lot. Well, what about the thief on the cross? Well, what about the thief on the cross? That was old covenant. I know God is sovereign. He can do whatever He wants. But why? Why did God give us all this instruction in the New Testament how to live the life and walk the walk? Why did God send the Holy Spirit? Why did God do that? Why did Timothy and John and Paul and Peter and James, why did they do what they did and serve God and write to us the instructions of what to follow? They gave us guidance. We're going to plead the thief on the cross and all the other scriptures. Well, they don't matter anymore. Oh, no, my brother. Oh, no, they matter. God gave us understanding. You know, when the kids were growing up, I had a swing set we bought and put together. There were 3 sections, the slide and the swings and the teeter-totter. They still have teeter-totters, I think. And I looked at the instructions and glanced at the instructions. And I started to put it together. And each section, you know what's coming. Each section, when I put it together, it wouldn't mate up with the other section. So smart, intelligent Ron, instead of going back after the first mistake, going back to the instruction. Oh, no. I put the second section together, and the same thing happened. And smarter and intelligent, more intelligent, Ron, you think he learned? No. Did it with the third set. I had to take each set apart twice and put it back together because I didn't read the instructions. And that's what we have today. Here are the instructions. Here's the word, praise God. What does the word tell us? The word says you gotta be in the word, praise God. You gotta know the promises and know the warnings and the encouragements that the word of God provides. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. You see, if we haven't surrendered all our life to Jesus Christ, we're not going to make it. I tell you this in love. I hope I don't sound mean-spirited. I don't mean to say it like that. But if you're not totally surrendered, if you're not totally sold out, you're not going to make it. And God has a lot of grace and a lot of mercy and a lot of love. But you see, brother and sister, it's the condition of the heart. Where is your heart? We're keeping a little part to ourselves. We're keeping a little bit of that heart to ourselves. No, I enjoy this in the world, and I want to do this thing, and I think it's okay. It doesn't bother me. I can live with it. I can control it. I can do. No, you can't. God said, I didn't come for half your heart or three-fourths of it. I came for it all. Jesus put it all on the line on the cross. He put it all on the line. And his expectation for us is the same thing. Amen. Put it all on the line. Praise God. Totally sold out. I can't get over this. The five virgins, what did they do wrong? They let the oil run out of their lamp. They let the oil run out of their lamp, a type, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oh God. Help us this morning that we don't get to just a point where we quench the Spirit so much that we lose the discernment, that our worship becomes mechanical, our service becomes mechanical, our love for the Lord becomes just lukewarm at best. Paul wrote to Timothy, says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. I think he was writing to the church. Yeah. Having a form. We go to church. We give to the missions and we do the things. We help we help the church and do things around God's house. But what is it? Power of God has got to have its way. Praise God. In Matthew, the scripture says, then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Perhaps they were Sunday school teachers. Perhaps they were evangelists or pastors or teachers. But you see, one wasn't right. The other two grinding in the mill could have been fixing the church plumbing. maybe doing electrical work around the church, preparing homes for widows possibly, caring for orphans. It's not the works. It's not the works. It's the heart. Praise God. When the heart is sold out and surrendered. And brother and sister, I say this with great trepidation this morning that we examine ourselves. Lord, where is my heart? The Holy Spirit's been dealing with me on this message for the last couple of days and just impressing upon me, you got to look at yourself. Are you ready? Should the Lord come, are you ready? Have you given it all? Well, you're the pastor. No, titles don't mean anything. It's the heart. It's where you are in your heart. Praise God. It's a terrible thing to realize that someone, even in the church, may not make the rapture because they didn't realize what it would take. And you know, I know some are going to walk away from this message this morning, and they're going to be like those followers that Jesus spoke to, and I think it's in John, the 6th chapter, when he told them what it meant to be a follower of Christ. And he told them to symbolically to eat his flesh and drink his blood. You know, you remember the passage. And what did they say? This is a hard saying. Who can know it? And many walk no more with him. My concern is you're going to walk away from this sermon this morning and say, oh, this is, it's not that hard. It takes too much commitment. It takes too much surrender. I don't want to change my lifestyle. After all, everything's not perfect in the church. What's that got to do with you? It's an individual salvation. You got to live for yourself. You got to live to serve Jesus Christ no matter what's going on in the church. If Brother Ron embezzles funds and takes off to another city, Brother Ron's going to be judged. That shouldn't deter you. Because the truth is still the truth. And the word is still the word. Praise God. Not that I would ever do that, but just to be clear. But you know what I'm saying? Do we not see each other's faults and failures? Sure we do. Sometimes you don't have to look very hard. We see each other's shortcomings. But what do? We pray for them. Say, Lord, help my brother, help my sister. Help me, Lord, not to have anything in my heart. Because when it comes down to it, it's me and you, Lord, and I got to be clean before you. Everything's got to be forgiven. Well, you know how bad he hurt my feelings? You know how bad I was crushed, what he said to me or she said to me? God says, yeah, I understand all that. But there is grace, grace to overcome it. Praise God. Oh, Lord, we must have our lamps all trimmed and burning bright. We don't sing this song for a long time. Let the lower lights be burning. I never really understood that song growing up as a young man, but I understand it now. The lights he's talking about is that fire of the Holy Spirit that's burning in your heart. Let that light shine. Praise God. Lord, would you send your Holy Spirit power? You that are not baptized, I'm going to say it to you again. You're probably tired of me saying it, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep saying it. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to live the life and to walk the walk. To be able to overcome, to have that power in the toughest times of temptation when God has to hold you up by a strong right hand. You need the Holy Ghost. I can't stress that enough. Don't grow up without the Holy Ghost. He's going to guide you and help you make decisions. Oh, Father, help us this morning. I'm going to come to a close. The psalmist says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you. The psalmist says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. When do I need to get the Holy Ghost? Right now. You don't need to wait. The younger the better. The younger the better. It's God's promise. It's God equipping you for service for the kingdom. It's the natural progression of our walk with the Lord. The Holy Spirit convicts our hearts. That's what brings us to Christ, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals to us that we're sinners, that we're lost and undone, or that we need to follow God. We may be so young and not understand truly all the issues with sin, but we understand this. We want to follow Jesus Christ. That's not all we understand as kids growing up. That's okay. If you know that much, you know a lot. And as time goes on, he continues to reveal himself and helps us to understand what he has done for us through the work of the cross and through salvation and the plan of God. I want to close with the scripture I started with. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves and unto men that wait for the Lord, as unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. There's a scripture. In Luke, Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I want to say yes, Lord. There is going to be the faithful that have held to the truth of God, that have been washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, accomplishing what the Holy Spirit has guided them to do. Will he find faith in the earth? I pray for each and every one of us that he will, and we will be faithful to him. May the name of the Lord be praised. Do we have a song?